Yushas Levi, Parshas Vayigash, Tav Shanai and Ches. Parsha begins with Yehuda stepping up to Yosef in a threatening way. It's interesting, you read between the lines, we'll see how the Berditchver reads B'derech HaPshat, was Yehuda being antagonistic toward Yosef? Was he speaking in a gentle voice toward Yosef? We'll see that in a few minutes. But the pasuk begins, Vayigash, I love Yehuda, Vayomer bi Adoni. Yadaber na avdecha, davar baznei adoni, va'al yichar apcha ba'avdecha, ki kamocha kaparo. Let me speak into your ear, my master, because you're as important to me as paro. Okay, we're going to focus on those first few words. Ve'igash yelav Yehuda. Yehuda confronted Yosef, approached Yosef, va'yomer bi adoni. And he said, please, my master. Says the Berditchver. Va'hanirad hine amru chachmeinu zal. Chazal explained to us, Tzadik Moshel B'yiras Elokim. Mi Moshel B, Tzadik. The Gemara says in Moed Katan that a Tzadik is able to rule through his Yiras Elokim. Who does he rule? He rules the ruler. He rules over Hashem. The Tzadik has the ability to influence HaKadosh Baruch. As the Gemara explains, Kesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer gezeira, Tzadikim Mevatlim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a harsh decree, and the tzaddik, using his power of elokus, his godliness, is able to renegotiate and to save people and to overturn the gezerah. We find that tzaddikim have the ability to overturn a Kadosh Baruch Hu's harsh gezeros. I once heard the Tuchina Rebbe say, he says, usually a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a gezerah and the tzaddik overturns it, or the tzaddik asks for something and the Kadosh Baruch Hu carries it out. He said that Rav Chanan Wasserman once said about the Chavetz Chaim, that but the Chavetz Chaim was the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired something, and the Chavetz Chaim carried it out. It's a beautiful thing to say. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a ratzon, and the tzaddikim are the ones who carry out that, who actualize the will of Hashem. Right? But here is the famous Gemara in Moed Katan, that the tzaddik has the ability to overturn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeros. What do you say? Moshe means to rule, to dominate. V'nasan Hashem Yisbarach koach u'gavura le'tzadikim sheyuchlu levatal b'tfilasam kol gzeros raus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has empowered the tzadikim through their koach ha'tfila to overturn difficult decrees. V'nekram kiv'yachol Moshel bi tzadik. And that's what the pasuk is hinting to us. Gemara is darshaning Moshel bi tzadik. That the tzadik is Moshel. That the tzadik, the human tzadik, rules over HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiv'yachol. V'zen yira perash ha'pasuk. So now look how he reads the pasuk. Fascinating pshat. The Isa Bazar Kaddish, the Zohar says, Kinei hamalachim noadu avri achtav, ze Yehuda v'Yosef. We know that the kings are going to come together, the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Yosef. Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. And he says, based on the Zohar, Yosef nikra Kaddish Baruch Hu. V'Yehuda nikra Knesset Yisrael. Yosef is sometimes in the Zohar used as a name for Hashem, and Yehuda is the name of the Jewish people. So now, let's think about this. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef. Meaning, Klal Yisrael approaches their Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And what does Yehuda say to him? Vayomer bi Adoni. So look at this. Amazing. Vizeh perash ha-pasuk. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Shekneses Yisrael nigashim la-Kadosh Baruch Hu. We approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer elav bi Adoni. The pasuk pshat is, bi Adoni, please my master. But the way the Berditchver is reading it, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're God, no question about that. But B, Adoni, but within me, is also God. I have a neshama. Kiviyachol B, Ha'adnus V'Memshala, I also have a power to rule. I also have a shaychus to godliness. I have a chelik alokam yimal inside of me, I have a divine spark inside of me. D'mi Moshel B, Tzadikim B'tfilasam, Avalim Kol Gzeres Kashos. V'Mamshichim L'Yisrael, Shefa Tov, U'Brachos. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we step up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, Bi Adoni, within me is also godliness. I also have a say. I also can make a vote. Can also rule on this matter. And that's what the pasuk continues, Vazeu, that's what the pasuk says, Yedaber na avdecha davar ba'aznei Adoni, v'al yichar apcha ba'avdecha. I want to speak into your ears, I want to offer my opinion. Get very bold, Yehuda is stepping up to the second in command of Mitzrayim. And please don't be upset at me. The tzaddikim, the way that Yehuda, which is Knesset Yisrael, is whispering into the ear of Yosef. The deepest tefillahs are said in a whisper. That's why Shemona Esrei, which is the pinnacle of tefillah, climax of tefillah, is said in a whisper. So Yehuda says to Yosef, Klal Yisrael says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the tzaddikim, representatives of Klal Yisrael, say, Hashem, we're going to whisper words of tefillah into your ear to be mevatel the gezeira. And that's what it means, Va'al yichar apcha ba'avdecha. Don't get angry at us. I'm going to be mevatel the charonaf, the anger. Ephes miyem atzaddikim shetfilasim osa peri. And yet concludes the Berditcher Rabban, who are those tzaddikim who have the ability that their tefillah will produce fruits? Osa madvekim tamid b'shmo ha-gadol v'heim b'chinas ayin. Those people who cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and negate themselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'yirem u'mizdazim tamid b'pachar Hashem b'hadar ga'ono v'yesh lam koach lifol b'tfilasim. V'yirasam moshal b'tzadik. And the person who is truly has yiras shamayim, the person who is truly davak to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, has the ability to then influence a Kadosh Baruch Hu. By being attached to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a bit of a paradox. By negating yourself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you become connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to such a degree that you then have a vote. And you're able to say, Hashem, this is a bad gezer and I want to overturn it. Okay. Now he goes on in the next paragraph. I'm not gonna read it inside because it's a little bit Kabbalistic, but he goes on and he explains what the whole ki kamocha kaparo is also. And this is also part of the same presentation of the tzaddik's ability to overturn gezeras. But we're going to skip the end of this piece, and again, we'll just take the first part. V'yigash elav Yehuda, the Knesset Yisrael approaches Yosef, which according to the Zohar Kadosh is Hashem, right? It's Meramis to Hashem. And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bi Adoni, I also have a connection to you. I have a chelek elokah mimal inside of me. And therefore, right, I'm going to whisper tefillos into your ear. Yidaber na avdecha davar ba'aznei Adoni. I'm going to whisper into the ear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, my tefillos. Va'yichar apcha ba'avdecha. And in that way, I'm going to overturn the charon af, the anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have, which caused him to issue that gezerah to begin. Okay? Let's skip to the next piece. Very, very interesting piece, B'derach HaPshat. Okay, the piece that begins, Od Yevuar. Everyone see it? Od Yevuar v'yigash elav Yehuda, he quotes the pasuk again. U'lechora einu muvan masha amar v'al yichar apcha ba'avdecha. What exactly did Yehuda mean by saying, don't be angry at me? The mashma, shediber ito divrei kantorim. When do you say someone shouldn't get angry at you? If you're doing something to anger them. So meaning if Yehuda is speaking harsh words to Yosef, then it makes sense that he should say, I'm yelling at you, Yosef, even though you're very powerful, don't get angry at me. Was Yehuda yelling at him? Was he speaking gently to him? Ad shabavur zeh hutzruch levaksho she'al yichar apo. If a person is speaking in a way, again, that's fierce and angry, so it makes sense that he should say, don't get angry. U'v'chol ha'parsha kula matzinu rak divrei ritzui v'tachanunim. And yet we see that Yehuda is speaking with what? He's pleading with Yosef. He's desperate. He's not saying, the Medrash reads between the lines and says that Yehuda is threatening to beat him up. The Shvatim were very strong. We're going to overturn Mitzrayim the same way that Shimon and Levi overturned Shechem. Right? The Medrash picks up on all of the innuendo in his words. Right? But on the surface, he's begging, he's desperate. He says, please, my father's going to die if I don't bring back my brother. Uve'emes Rashi zal hirgish b'zeh. Rashi obviously picked up on this. V'tireitz and Rashi explain shadiber ito kashos ayin sham. And Rashi does say that Yehuda was speaking harsh words, but b'derach hapshad, Yehuda is speaking very gently to Yosef. Bi Adoni, please my master. So why is he saying don't get angry? As if they ask him not to get angry for. He's speaking very nicely. If Yosef doesn't want to agree, he won't agree. But he's not going to get angry at him for asking in a nice way. So he explains as follows. Let's try to explain the psukim, this whole conversation between Yosef and Yehuda, b'derach hapshat. V'netarit gam ezos shehikshu kol mafarshim al omer ki kamocha kaparo, shu bilti muvan. And with this, we'll also understand the phrase that he says to him, right? Yosef, it doesn't know he's Yosef yet, but he says, please, you know, help me, provide for me, don't get angry at me, you're as important to me as paro. Ki kamocha kaparo. What does that mean, you're like paro? What was he saying to him? So the Berditcher Mamish B'derach HaPshat says a beautiful thing. He says, V'nira l'anias da'iti de'kavanas Yehuda haya al zeh ha'derach. The Yehuda ratzalias over b'yosef midas rachmanas b'chdei sheba'avor zeh levavo yavin v'yishma l'dvarav b'ischanu elav. Yehuda wanted to soften Yosef's heart so that he'll listen to him. that'll be receptive to him. Right? That his ear will be open to absorb his words. Achein hirgish ki yavu leze al derech sha'abru chazal devar mayotim an alev nechlas vel alev. But Yehuda understood that the best way for a person to receive your message is if what? If it's words straight from my heart, to my mouth, to your ear, to your heart. Right? Dvar ma'yotzim en alev, words that come from the heart, nichnasim en alev, enter another person's heart. So Yehuda wants to speak directly to Yosef. He wants to overwhelm him with the emotional flavor of his words. V'cho hayadaito b'skar v'ledavar. And that's what his intention was. Achein ein b'mashmos d'reyam kiim b'zeh ha'ofen. But the words can only be absorbed and really make an impact if what? If they're received in the following fashion. When I speak to someone face to face, a heart to heart conversation, so then, again, the person sees my body language, the person hears the tone of my words, and the person is able to absorb my message. The person is able to understand, again, the nuance of the words. And a person could tell, again, if you're speaking really mamish from the heart, the person who's on the receiving end can understand that, can hear it. But Yehuda has a problem. He doesn't speak to Yosef. Let's remember that all the conversations are taking place by way of a translator. So when the translator takes your words, which were filled with passion and emotion, and then turns them into just a dry translation, so it doesn't have the same impact. And this is clear to anyone. Mavine das, those who understand das. Das means connection. So a person who knows what it means to be connected to another person in a deep way, to have a real heart-to-heart conversation, right, knows that to try to share that same conversation through a shliach doesn't work. Yeah. Right, so that's a good question. Meaning, right, Yosef should still be able to see the emotions with which he's speaking. Right, they tell stories of the Chafetz Chaim getting up in Polish parliament and giving drushes in Yiddish. No one knows what he's talking about, but they said just by the way he spoke, you could tell it's very important. It's an important matter. So there are stories of tzaddikim saying things that were not understood, right? But just the way that they gave it over was still okay. Let's see where he goes with it. I thought of that question also. It's a good question. So like we saw in this past week's parsha, right? The problem was that there's a meturgaman, a melitz, a translator. So that's what Yehuda is asking at the beginning of parsha's Vayigash. Vayigash, I love Yehuda. Yehuda says, I want to talk to you straight, Yosef. No more interpreters. Vayomar, right? Bi Adoni, my master, please, I'm begging you. I want to speak into your ears. I want to talk straight to you. And you're like Paro. So says the dictionary, puts it all together. It's chutzpahdik for a person to say to the melech, I'm going to speak to you in my language. We're going to speak on my terms. Right? That's why Yehuda has to say, don't get angry. He's changing the rules of the royal order. There's a way to speak to a melech. You come in, and if you don't speak the language of the king, so you'll speak, and the meturgaman will speak to the king for you. But you're not going to ask the king to speak in your language. Now, does the king speak in your language? Does the king know your language? Kings knew a lot of languages. Says the Berditchever, ki afshar sh'eini odea melech b'lashono. It's not polite to ask the king to speak in your language. Maybe the king doesn't know your language. So therefore Yehuda says to him, I want to speak into your ears. What does that mean? I want you to hear my words directly, without the translator in the middle. And if you'll say that it's not appropriate for me to ask this of you, that's why Yehuda said, don't get angry at me. Why? Because in this particular case, it's not disrespectful. Why is it not disrespectful? Because I know that you know all 70 languages. How does he know? Only the greatest of kings knew 70 languages. Ki kein derech ha-malachim ha-rishonim shayim makirim b'shivim lashon. Right, the original kings, the true kings, knew how to converse in the 70 primary languages of the world. U'lefiza amar ki kamocha kapara. So now we understand. Yehuda says, don't get angry about this request. It's not really that chutzpahdik to ask you to speak in my language because I know you know my language. How do I know that you know my language? Ki kamocha kaparo. Because you're like a paro. You're not just a second in command. You're not just a high-ranking official. You're mamish like a melech. Of course, the Berditchever concludes by telling us that according to the Gemara, Paro actually didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. He didn't know all 70 languages. Right? He didn't actually know all 70 languages. Lefiza bavade atamakir b'lashonenu. You certainly know our language. V'cheinis v'gemara b'gavriyo v'lamdu ayin lashon. Right, that Yosef did know all 70 languages. V'af shaparo lo yada b'lashon HaKodesh. Gam kein haya nivze ba'avur zeh. But that was a bizarre for Paro that he didn't know 70 languages. He didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. But again, Yehuda is praising him, simultaneously asking for a special treatment. And he's explaining why he shouldn't be upset, because knowing your greatness, again, he doesn't know it's Yosef, but knowing the greatness of this individual who he's talking to, ki kamocha kaparo, you're like a real melech to me, and therefore it's reasonable to assume that you know many languages. Okay? Mamash bedarach pshat, explaining every phrase of Yehuda speaking to Yosef in this way. Okay, I told you the first time we learned Kedusha Slevi. It's a lot of different things. You have Pashup Shat, you have Musar, right? Derech Avoda, you have Kabbalah, you have all sorts of things in the Sefer. Okay, let's look at the next piece. He quotes twice in this week's parsha from the Maggid of Mezvich. Here's the first one. We're not going to see the second one. V'inei enechem roos v'inei achi v'nyamin ki pi amedaber aleichem. Perek Mamhei, Pasuk Yud Beis. When Yosef reveals himself, and the brothers are obviously very overwhelmed by that. So Yosef says, "V'hinei einechem ra'os ve'einei achi v'nyamin ki pi hamedaber aleichem." Now I'm speaking to you, Rashi says in Lashon HaKodesh. But what does it mean, einechem ra'os? What does it mean to see a tzaddik? Because remember, Yosef is not just Yosef, he's Yosef a tzaddik at this point. And he has a shining countenance. Right? Shem Yishmuel says that when Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, he didn't have to give them any mussar. Ani Yosef. Once he said, "I'm Yosef," and they looked at his face and they saw that he was still shining with kedusha after everything he had gone through. That was the most overwhelming sight in the world. So says the Kedusha Slavi in a similar vein. He quotes from, he says, "Dine mori v'rabi atzadik morenu dovber." He quotes from the Maggid of Mezrich, who said the following. Just like there's light and dark in the world, there's light and dark within man, in a person's understanding of things, in one's intellect. Right? There are times when our minds are illuminated, and there's times when we find ourselves in the dark. Ad kan dvarav. But when a person hears the words of a tzaddik, when you're in the presence of a tzaddik, when you hear a tzaddik, when you see a tzaddik, nizdachei chasecho v'yeiru einayim, the mind becomes refined, the intellect, right? Sechel is also, it's not just intellect in like a purely intellectual sense, right? It's a neshamadik intellect, right? So the neshama and the mind, which again is connected to the neshama, becomes illuminated, right? And becomes refined, becomes clarified. Whatever confusion you had, the tzaddik all of a sudden turns your choshech into or. V'zeo, and that's what Yosef said to them, ki einechem haroos ve'enei achi binyamin, she'enechem me'iros v'nezdache chaseichel shalachem, machmas ki pi hamedaber aleichem. Yosef says, do you see who's talking to you? It's Yosef HaTzadik. Right? Your eyes see. Right? I mean, the brothers are going through a very dark period right now. Yosef just revealed himself and they felt terribly guilty. But Yosef says, as I'm speaking to you, hine einechem roos, the fact that they were listening to the words of the tzaddik, Yosef says, that should lift you up. That should illuminate your mind. And again, that's true about any time we have an interaction with the tzaddik. Just hearing the tzaddik or seeing the tzaddik, the mamish transforms a person's whole outlook. And that's why it's so important to be connected to tzaddikim. Okay, the brothers are given gifts. Next piece, a longer piece, very interesting Chanukah piece. Okay, one last Chanukah piece for this year. Very, very interesting connection in this week's Parsha to Chanukah. Lekulam nasan leish. To each person he gave some money, some gifts. Levin Yamin, he gave chamesh chalifos smalos. He gave five different garments, outfits. Va'amru Rabbeinu Zal, Chazal explained, Efshar davar shenitzdaro satzadik yichshol bozaro. Could it be that the same thing that Yosef suffered from, right, from getting an extra garment, so now what, he gives Binyamin extra garments, it's going to cause a lot of trouble. You're favoring Binyamin? This is how the whole thing began, Yosef. You were favored by your father with the ksonas pasim. So some say, yeah, that's Yosef testing them to see that. Okay, different people get different things, and you have to know how to not murder your brother over it. It's life. But he says, Chazal tell us, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, Ela ramaz lebinyamin sheyatzav imenu Mordechai. Sheyatzav lefnei achashverosh v'chamisha malbushim. It was hinting to the fact that a descendant of Binyamin, namely Mordechai, would go out before the king Achashverosh wearing five different garments. Right? Mordechai yatzav v'chulu. Right, Mordechai went out wearing all the royal garments. Okay? So that's why Binyamin was given five garments, hinting to the fact that in the future Mordechai is going to get five garments. It doesn't really answer the question, as all the Mefarshim point out, because it's still, again, the thing that you were almost killed over, Yosef, they're going to go on. So what, you're going to explain to them? No, this is hinting to the fact, no, I'm not favoring Binyamin, I'm just hinting to the fact that Mordechai in the future is going to wear five garments. It's a difficult Gemara. The Vilna Gaon has an explanation. Many tzaddikim have explanations of this Gemara for another time. But he says, the Reditcher says, I see something remarkable here. V'nira b'siyata d'shmaya, v'itein tam v'shvach l'divrei ha-chachmein uzah. I want to try to clarify and deepen our understanding of this. D'beruach kodshom ramzu d'yosef, remez l'binyamin neis Mordechai. That Yosef with his Ruach HaKodesh was hinting to Binyamin, that Mordechai HaTzadik is going to come from you. Ki Yosef u Binyamin me'eim achasai. Yosef and Binyamin, of course, came from Rachel. Ve'heru lo shemikra echad yikra l'shnei. And Yosef was hinting to the fact that what happened to me happens to you. What happens to Yosef happens to Binyamin, or the descendants of Binyamin. What does that mean? Kemo di Yosef, this ala al yedei chalom shechalom leparo, kein Mordechai sheyatzav mibinyamin this ala al yedei chalom. Just like Yosef rose to power through a dream, through power's dreams which he interpreted, so Mordechai also came to power through whose dream? Achashverosh's dream. Kamayim Rabbeinu Targum, as the Medrash and the Targum explain, the belayla hu nadadash nasa melech. Achashverosh was having a sleepless night. Shechalom lo shehaman ratzel hargo. The Medrash tells us that Haman, that Achashverosh had a dream that Haman was coming to kill him. And he woke up, and that's why he got all nervous. Right? And then Haman's standing in the courtyard, he's very frightened. He brings out the Sefer Zichronos, and he rewards Mordechai. So the same way that Yosef was elevated through a dream, Mordechai also rose in power through a dream. Ayidei kein nismali alav chema, he got all nervous. V'tzivo so lahalbish es Mordechai lo licho b'rachov eir. So that's the first connection between Yosef and Shevet Binyamin. Mordechai comes from Binyamin. Yosef rose to power through a dream, and Binyamin's Mordechai rose to power through a dream. Another connection. Just like Yosef was the second most powerful person to Paro, Kaperish Rashi, as Rashi explains, when Paro says to him, Raka kisei agadam imcha, just the throne will be above you. Kamokein Mordechai sheyatzav Binyamin, afal pi shenes Allah, hayetachas v'shus achashverosh. So too, Mordechai rose to great prominence, but he was also secondary to Achashverosh. As Chazal explained, that even after the salvation of Purim, hacha akati avde Achashverosh anan. We were still living under foreign rule. The Jewish people were saved from being killed by Haman, but even with Mordechai and Esther in positions of great prominence, they were still only second in command. So just like Yosef was second in command of Mitzrayim, Mordechai was second in command under Achashverosh. Okay. Yosef was hinting to Binyamin that your descendant is going to be similar to me. Okay, very interesting. But then the Reditcher says something really amazing. Look at this. Me'ata nirali dechol masei shiftei ka'a kadoshim v'atahorim simin tov labanim. Whatever happened, not only to the Avos, right? We know, Maisa Avos simin labanim. But he says everything that happened to the Shvatim is also Maisa Shvatim Simin Labanim. Where do we see this? V'Yosef Ramaz L'Ulas Mordechai V'Yisrael mihaman harasha. Yosef, the story of Yosef, hints to the whole Purim story. That's why Yosef and his brothers finally meet up. In last week's parsha, they're drinking together. They got drunk together. Right? The pasuk says they got drunk. As they're sitting down to have that big festive meal that they make, there's a lot of drinking. There's a lot of Purim connections between Yosef and Purim. V'Yosef ramaz l'geulas Mordechai, v'Yisrael mihaman harasha. The salvation of Klal Yisrael and Mordechai from Haman Arasha is hinted to here by Yosef. Where else do you find Maisa Shvatim Simon Labanim? Kemo Kain, Shimon Valevi, Barigasam Lashchem. When Shimon and Levi went to destroy the city of Shechem, Ramzu Geulas Chanukah, Me'u Maharasha. Yosef and the brothers of El hints to Purim, and Shimon and Levi destroying Shechem to save Dina hints to Chanukah. Demamish Domalo. It was mamish a similar thing, says the Berditcher. Just like Shechem, a small army called Shimon and Levi defeated the entire city of Shechem, the Yeshua Hashem Azel Lehem, Kamokin Bechanukah. There's also a handful of Jewish soldiers who defeated a much larger army. Vashem Yisbarach Azel Lehem, Limsor Giburim, Biad Chalashim. Vashem came Bepurim, Lo Hayashum Siua. But on Purim, there was no war that was fought. Although if you look in the Megillah, there really was somewhat of a fight to defend ourselves. We killed a lot of Amalekim on that at the end of the battle. Okay, but there was no man-made effort in the same way. Okay, ulahachi b'Chanukah d'hai al yedei ma'aseh d'Shimon v'Levi b'Shechem. So if Chanukah is rooted, and again, there's a lot to develop here. Of Shimon and Levi fighting against Shechem, Shem Garmu b'Shechem lifol shtia levenehem Yeshua kedoma l'Shechem, that they put into motion the possibility of a salvation that was similar to that salvation in the future. Lachin hayibachanaka hanes al yedei chashmona yovanov. Who were the heroes of Chanukah? What sheva were they from? Sheva Levi. Tayu kohanim shabomi sheva Levi. That just like Shechem was defeated by Levi, so too on Chanukah. It was through the family of the Levim, namely the Kohanim, Chashmona Yobanov, who were victorious. And then he says, really a wild thing. One of the children of Matisyahu's name was Shimon. So Yimamish on Chanukah, you see Shimon and Levi. You see Shimon and Levi fighting a war. Shimon is one of the children of Matisyahu. Levi, Shevet Levi, of course, the Kohanim. Right? Kenizka B'Sefer Yosifun. Shayakiva Shavachama Aidei Shimon Kamo B'Shechem. But just like there's a Shimon who defeated Shechem, there's a Shimon who fights on Chanukah. Okay, u'me'ata Ya'ir einenu b'torasa. So now we go a step further. When Yaakov gives a bracha in Parshas Vayechi to Shimon and Levi, what does he say to them? Zeu shamar Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi, right? Achim, your brothers. Uvirtzonam ikru shor. Uvirtzonam, with your great commitment, you hamstringed an ox, and you killed a lot of people along the way. Yeah. What does that mean, Ikru Shor? Ramaz Shaba'oso Maisa Shechem Asu Pa'ula La'akor Shor. That by uprooting an ox in Shechem, it was hinting again to Chanukah. Where do we see a shore in Chanukah? Like Chazal tell us, Shiratzwa Yavadim Sheyichtuva Karan Ashor Shein Lechem Chelek B'Okei Yisrael. That the Yavadim wanted us to ride on the horn of an ox, you have no portion in the God of Israel. The Rashi says that they uprooted an ox, means Shimon and Levi were the ones who initially planned to kill Yosef, who's compared to a shor, b'chor shor. Yeah, but it's also hinting to Chanukah. Heim ikru lezeh shalei yitzarchu lichtav al karen ha-shor. Right, that they, again, protected and put into motion the possibility of not riding on the karen ha-shor. They were ikru shor, they uprooted the shor. Okay. Machvas shapalu lebeneim shachashmona yabanav yintzuchu ha-yaban. Okay. That the Chashmonaim should be victorious. And then, what does Yaakov say? Shimon and Levi, your brothers, you are ikru shor, you hamstringed an ox. And then, Yaakov davins, b'kalam al techad kvodi. In their assembly, I don't want to be a part of it. Yaakov davins, I don't want to be a part of their assembly. What does that mean? So, you could think of the assembly of Korach. Korach came from Shimon and Levi. Maybe that's what Yaakov was davening over. The Redditor says, no, again, it's Chanukah. Shimon and Levi's bracha, it's all about Chanukah. Well, what was Yaakov saying? I don't want to be part of their kaal. When the Chashmonaim were victorious, they took the malucha for themselves. And according to the Ramban, that was a terrible sin. The Gemara says, if you meet someone today who says, I'm a descendant of the Hashmonaim, they're a liar. Because all the Hashmonaim were destroyed. All their descendants were destroyed. The last Hashmonai female descendant went up to a roof and said, if anyone tells you that they're a descendant of the Hashmonaim, they're liars. Because I'm the last one. And then she jumped off the roof and killed herself. Okay, so there are no descendants. The Ramban understands that the reason that they lost their legacy in the world is because they erroneously took the Malucha. They're not allowed to take the Malucha. Malchus is for Shevet Yehuda, not for Shevet Levi. So says the Ramban, he quotes the Ramban here, the Ramban says, Chashvonayu banav mashenakmu ma tov asu, efes b'mashenatlu ha-malucha la'atzum lo nachonke. What the Chashvonayim were able to do to fight for Klal Yisrael was obviously very good, but that which they took the Malucha afterwards, they tried to restore Malchus through themselves, that was very bad. Ki ha-malucha li-Yehuda nitna levad, ayin sham. And therefore Yaakov Davin, again, b'ka'alam al-techad kvodi. I don't want to be a part of their assembly. Yaakov was distancing himself from the Malucha that the Chashmonaim would take for themselves. Okay? All right, so a lot of Hanukkah Ramazim found over here. Okay, interesting. All right, let's jump to the next piece. Everyone okay? Al Tir Gezu B'Derech. This is Mamish. We haven't seen a Berditchever like this. Very clever. Very different style of explanation. This is like we see in the Vilna Gaon Shir, maybe. Al Tir Gezu B'Derech. When Yosef is sending his brothers home, he tells them, don't become agitated on the way. Al Tir Gezu, Rogez. Don't become agitated on the way. The Pashup Shad, of course, is, as Rashi explains, don't get into a fight blaming each other whose fault it is that you sold me. It's everyone's fault. But then Rashi says a second shot, Al Tir Gezu B'Derech, Rashi says, he quotes it, Pirish Rashi, Al Tis'asku B'Dvar Halacha. On the way home, don't get too involved in a sugya. You know, debating what the halachic conclusion of a particular halacha is. Al Tis'asku B'Dvar, don't learn halacha on the way. Because you're going to get so caught up in the sugya, you're going to get lost, you're not going to get home quickly. I want you to go home quickly, get Yaakov, come back to Mitzrayim. Strange. Hine l'chore kasha lama lo tziva Yaakov l'banav kisha yardu l'mitzrayim shal yisasku b'dvar halach. So a lot of svarim, again, you have svarim that ask this question, but it's shocking that the Berditchever asked this question. So if Yosef's giving them this chiddush, don't learn halacha on the road, why didn't Yaakov say the same thing when they came to Mitzrayim, when they went down to Mitzrayim to begin with? Lama lo tziva Yaakov l'banav kisha yardu l'mitzrayim shal yisasku b'dvar halacha. Why now is Yosef being mechadish, don't learn halacha on the road? How could Yosef command them not to learn halacha? The Gemara says in Kedushin on Daf Lamed that a person should always divide his day into thirds. A person should divide his life into three portions. One third you should learn Tanakh, one third you should learn Mishnah, one third you should learn Gemara, which means the halacha conclusions. The Gemara says, but you don't know how long you're going to live. So how do I divide my life? I spend 30 years on each. What if I don't live to 90? I spend 40 years on each. What if I don't live to 120? Yeah. So how do I divide my life? So the Gemara answers, right? Umi yada kama chai. So the Gemara says, divide up each day. Divide up each day. How do I know how long I'm going to live every day? I mean, I'll die in the middle of the day. I won't get to finish my last. Okay. It's a little more reasonable. Nimtza mukhrach adam lomod b'chol yom halach. So according to this Gemara, a person needs to learn halacha every day. So why did Yosef come with his chiddush, right, as opposed to Yaakov, don't learn halacha on the road? And second of all, how can he tell them not to learn halacha? The Gemara says, la'olam, a person should always divide up his day into three portions, right, into Mishnah, into Mikra, into Mishnah, into Gemara. So says the Berditchever, v'nira levar al pi beis hakdamos. I can explain based on two introductions. Aleph, Ki simen haya master biyado shal Yaakov, kishalo yamos echa bibanav bechayav, eino roa penegahana. Yaakov was given a blessing, a promise, that if none of his children die in his lifetime, then it's a sign that he'll never go to Gehenna. He'll never see the face of Gehenna, the entrance to Gehenna. The second promise that he was given, Hakdama Beis, a second introduction that he was given, was that he was promised, shemuvtachim hayu ha'avos, sheyichyu beklalis tafkof shanat. That the Avos were promised they would live a total of at least 500 years. We know that Avos lived on a total of 502 years. Right? But Yaakov said to himself the following, Hine yadua shebeim hayyodeya adam kama yichya yachol lumod shlish mishnos of mikra, shlish mishnos of mishnah, shlish mishnos of gemara. If a person knows how long he's going to live, then he can divide up his day into thirds. His life into thirds. If you know you're going to live 90 years, exactly, then you'll divide your life, 30 years learn Mikra, 30 years learn Mishnah, 30 years learn Gemara. Right? So that's if you know how long you're going to live. So Yaakov was given two brachas. One, your children are never going to die in your lifetime, and that's a good sign, you'll never go to Gehenna. And second, you're going to live for 500 years. Yaakov at this point assumes that Yosef is dead. That one of his children died in his lifetime. If one of his children died in his lifetime, then maybe the other bracha is also not going to come true. Maybe he's not going to live 500 years. Maybe the avos combined, they're not going to live 500 years. So therefore, look what he says. Nimtza lefize. Yaakov kishara she'in Yosef ito yizbar shumeis. Yaakov thought that Yosef was dead. Nimtza nizbata laftacha achas. So one of the promises already didn't come true, that my children are not going to die in my lifetime. Vayari lenafsho shemen nizbata laftacha shnia gamkein. So he's worried what's going to happen to the second promise. Maybe I'm not going to live, I don't know how long I'm going to live, says Yaakov. V'lo yada kama yimei chayav. V'lo haye yachol litzavos as banav, shal yisasku b'dvar halacha. Ki mechrachim heima lilmod b'chol yom halacha. So if you don't know how long you're going to live, then you need to learn halacha every single day. However, Yosef said, I know that I am alive. Amnam Yosef haye yada ba'aso shu chay. V'lo nisbat alav tacha shniya. Yosef knew just like the first promise wasn't batel, that his children hadn't died in his lifetime, then so too the second promise also not batel. Meaning what? That Yaakov knew how long he was going to live. V'yada sheyesh lo Yaakov lechayos kama shanim u'memele lo nisbatel av tocha rishon agamkin u'bevadai lo yamos echa mibana b'chayav v'yuchel limar alacha kishivau lebesam. And therefore, now the part I don't really understand, why does it have to do with the Shvatim? Meaning Yosef saying to the Shvatim, right? You don't have to divide your day into thirds. Again, what was the question? The question was, how could Yosef tell him not to learn halacha? A person has to learn halacha every day. A person has to divide their day into thirds. So we explained that that's only true if you don't know how long you're going to live. If you know how long you're going to live, then you could divide up your life according to your life. You could divide your life into thirds, not every day into thirds. So I don't get... So Yosef told the brothers, Al tirgazu baderech. He was telling them what? I mean, what's that with the Shvatim, dividing up their days? I understand, now that Yaakov has a haftacha, that he's going to live to whatever, you know, to finish that 500 years, Yaakov's going to live whatever's left, 147 years, or at least 145 years, so Yaakov can divide up his life. But I'm not exactly sure why this explains why Yosef told the brothers that they don't have to learn halacha on the road, you'll learn halacha when you get home. Because Yaakov's going to live? Anyone? It's very creative. So Yaakov told the brothers, you gotta learn halacha. The person doesn't know how long he's gonna live. Right? And Yosef tells the brothers, right, Al tirgazu baderech, don't learn halacha on the road. Because you can make it up later. You're not gonna die. I don't know. It's a creative pshat. There's other very creative pshatim on this question. Okay. Yeah. No, he's saying don't learn halacha on the way. I don't think he's worried about them dying on the way. It says you don't need to. Right? The last line is v'lo v'yuchlu lomar halacha kashivo lebesim. I guess he's saying that just like I survived, right, the impossible. I guess that's a proof that the brothers are not going to die in Yaakov's lifetime. So therefore, what? So at least until for Yaakov's life, they can at least no one's going to die in Yaakov's lifetime. So if we know Yaakov's going to live to 147, so that means at least until Yaakov hits 147, we can divide up our years as opposed to our days. I'm not sure exactly how what the punchline is.
They were learning through Shlish every day? Or they were learning...
They were Jews, no? You're saying when did they learn Hasidus? I don't know.
No. Were they learning it in the way of like 30 years, or every day?
So that's what I get. I don't know. That's what it sounds like he's saying.
But why would they in the way that when they were living?
Yeah, but if they know how long Yaakov's going to live, and the promise of Yaakov is not, Yaakov's children are dying in his lifetime, I don't know. Not sure. All right, we try our best. V'yaris ha'agalos v'shashalach Yosef. Yaakov looks up and he sees the wagons that Yosef sent. So, however, it's a little bit Kabbalistic the way he explains it, but we'll say it very b'derech ha'pshat, the way the Shem Yishmuel says. V'yaris ha'agolos asher shalach Yosef, ramaz lo li'akuv, sha'al yidog me'agolos. By sending wagons, Yosef was saying to Yaakov, you have nothing to worry about coming to Mitzrayim. Don't fear Golus. Ki kol zehu esiba l'geula. Because Golus is just a hechatimsa, a stepping stone to Geula. Ki harahu esiba l'tova. Because negativity, what's perceived by us as negativity, is just what? Is just a passageway to come to something good. How do a Golus represent that? So he says, the Berditchever says, Hine agolos hu lashon eagle, vasiba hu nikra davar eagle. Vaharachim apshutim hu ur hayashar, vasibos heim igulim. He's hinting to something very Kabbalistic. I'll just say it very simple. He's sort of saying it also. Shem Yishmuel says it even more clear. Yosef was saying to Yaakov, look at a wagon wheel. How does a wagon wheel work? Look at the wagon. The wheel goes round and round. So as something hits the bottom, when it hits rock bottom, that's mamish the moment that what? That it starts to rise again. And it goes around and around and around. So Yaakov was Yosef was sending to Yaakov a galus. He was highlighting wagons. Right? Chazal say he was learning Egla Harufa with him when they parted ways. Right? But very simply, Yosef was saying, Yaakov, don't be worried. This is part of the circle of life. This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's master plan. You think this was the worst thing that ever happened to you? Trust me, this is all getting us to Mitzrayim in order to get us to Torah. And therefore, just realize that there's nothing bad that happens from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Golos is Lashon Eagle. Hasiba, the cause, right? The cause of something is called Eagle. Right? What put it into motion? What caused the wheels to spin? So that's what Yosef was saying to Yaakov. You don't have to worry. This is all a Siba Letova. Okay, Od Yosef Benicha, Yaakov sees Yosef and he says, wow, my son Yosef is still alive. However, one of the most important lessons we can learn from Yosef at Tzaddik is the fact that he stayed from in a very difficult environment. And it really removes all the excuses, because now we can walk in the light of Yosef, in his legacy. Od Yosef b'ni Chai, he says, Yaakov, she Yosef atzadik amud b'tzirkasa. Yaakov sees that Yosef maintained his righteousness. Afil b'mitzrayim shayushtufei zima. Even in Mitzrayim, which was a very sexually immoral society. Afal pichein lo labud b'maseyam ha-ra'im. Yosef chose not to learn from them. The shefa, the bracha that Hashem sends to this world is really for Klal Yisrael. And that which is given to the nations of the world is the extra, so to speak, the leftovers. Right? Excesses of a person's life. Kiyadua from the Zohar Kadosh. So he says, Od Yosef b'nichai. Od Yosef b'nichai. Perish. Shafilu Yosef ke'es etzel hamosarios. Even though Yosef is living in a land of great excesses, in a land of do what you want, he's in a place of od, that even in od, Yosef avichai. Even in a place where there's such an abundance, right, of tuma and temptation and success in the physical sense. In the world of od, Mitzrayim was the epicenter of everything successful and exciting at the time. Mitzrayim was the center of the universe. They had just sustained the world through a famine. Od, despite all of the od, despite all the power that Yosef was given, despite all the prestige and the possibilities he was granted, Yosef b'ni chai. Yosef, my son, as my son is still truly alive. Hafapichenu chai b'kedusha. And chai always represents, again, he's hinting on a deeper level, chai is a word that's always associated with tremendous, tremendous kedusha. So Yosef maintained his kedusha even in Mitzrayim. Yaakov is now on his way to Mitzrayim and he brings karbanos. Vayizbach zvachim lelokei aviv Yitzchak. He brings karbanos in the place that his father Yitzchak brought karbanos. Why? Why is Yaakov attaching himself to Yitzchak on his way to Mitzrayim? The Beditcher says a beautiful pshat. Which of the avos never left Eretz Yisrael? Yitzchak. Avram went to Mitzrayim. Yaakov is about to go to Mitzrayim. Yaakov brings karbanos like Yitzchak. Says the Berditchever, Ayin b'medrash kama perushim al zeh pasuk, v'ayin b'ramban kadosh ayin sham, v'anir, and I'll explain simply. Kine b'emes lo hayaratzon avinu Yaakov kha leilu l'mitzrayim. Yaakov had no desire to go to a lowly place like Mitzrayim. V'chein mevuar k'tzas b'ramban kadosh, as the Ramban himself explains. Rak machmas shira shemuchrach leilich Mitzrayim. But he knew that he had an obligation, was up to him, that it was a divine decree that he had to go to Mitzrayim, like Chazal explained. Roy Hayakov v'chulu. It would have been fitting for Yaakov to have nothing but goodness in this world. Right? But as part of the, again, the wagon wheels, he needed to go to Mitzrayim. So Yaakov says, before I go to Mitzrayim, who do I need to attach to? To Yitzhak Avinu. Why? Ki Avram halach l'Mitzrayim. Have a Yitzhak Aviv. Amar lo Hashem Yisbarach al teirid Mitzrayim. Yitzhak was the one who never left Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov says, before I go to Mitzrayim, I need to maintain an Eretz Yisrael mindset. I have to have a connection to Yitzhak Avinu. Rotz l'dabik asov amidas Aviv. B'chadei shelo leilei de Mitzrayim. He wanted to cling to his father so that he shouldn't have to really go to. He could be in body in Mitzrayim, like the Baal Shem Tov taught, wherever a person's mind is, that's where he really is. So by attaching himself mentally, emotionally to the midah of Yitzchak, he was making sure that he would stay out of Mitzrayim even when he was in Mitzrayim. And that was true. That was true about Yaakov. He stayed above Mitzrayim, even in Mitzrayim. That's why he offered karbanos in the way of his father Yitzchak. Okay, a second shot. O Yavur al Pi Maimer Chazal, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, which of the Avos is going to save us? Lasid Lavo, who's going to save us and get us out of Galus? So you'll say, I don't know, we've said so many different things over the years. Right? We said the fourth Galus, the Archaim we learned last year. The fourth Galus corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Galus of Torah, Galus Edom, Edom's Matria Torah. Yeah? Right? The Gemara says in Shabbos that Yitzchak is the one who's going to take the Achrayis upon himself to save Klal Yisrael. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, half upon you, half upon me. I'll take half the burden, you take half the burden, let's save Klal Yisrael. So says the Verditchever, why is Yaakov attaching himself to his father Yitzchak as he's going into the root of Galus Mitzrayim? Ki Avram lo yadanu, the Gemara says, Avram wasn't able to save us. Al-shem she Yitzchak Avinu yilmad saniguria al Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu became the defendant of Klal Yisrael. And the same way that Yitzchak is the one who the Gemara says in the future will bring Malam Yitzchus on Klal Yisrael, so too the root of Galus has to also, the salvation has to come in a certain sense from Yitzchak. And therefore, that's what he says. Yaakov attached himself to the mid of Yitzchak in order to prepare himself for Galus. Okay? Alright, the next piece is about Rebbeim and Talmidim. So, we're all just friends here, but let's learn the next piece. Anochi eredim cha Mitzrayimah. I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim with you. Va'anochi alcha gam Allah. Hashem says, I'll come with you to Mitzrayim, Yaakov, and I'll come up with you from Mitzrayim. It's a very important pasuk. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with us whenever we go into Galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out of Galus with us. But he explains that Yaakov was nervous about losing his madregas in Galus. Yeah.
Sorry, can I just go back to Galus?
Yeah.
Let me just say it earlier.
It's true. Sure. It's like when parents say, the choice is yours. I'd really appreciate it if you did this, but you could do what you want. So you really have the choice to overrule the parent in that situation, but you know what the parent wants. Right? Yaakov had there's no question Yaakov had the authority to overrule HaKadosh Baruch. Moshe also could have overruled HaKadosh Baruch about going into Eretz Yisrael. But he knew Hashem didn't want him to, so he stopped. Right? Hashem tells Moshe, please stop davening. You daven one more tefillah, I'm going to have to give in. But Hashem asked him as a kindness, right? Please don't. And Moshe was mevatel his ratzon to the ratzon Hashem. So Yaakov, you know, could have fought back, but he did what Hashem wanted. He trusted the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I'll go to Mitzrayim with you, and I'll come out of Mitzrayim with you. Yivur al pi haklal ki a talmid sheyesh lo seichel katan harav tzorach litzamsim es asma litzimtzum gadol. When a great Rosh Yeshiva is giving a shir, and his Talmidim are not on his level, so the Rosh Hashiva has to be mitzamsim. He has to contract himself. He has to shrink the material to make it more understandable, to make it more accessible, to speak a little more slowly. When Rabbi Rubenstein was explaining how the Shem Ma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, right, is you take Yud and Hay and Vav and Hay and you spell out, right? He was spelling it very slowly yesterday because it was a new idea, so he wanted to make sure everyone could absorb it. He was talking slowly. Yud. Yud, Vav, Dalet. How do you spell Hey? Hey, Aleph. Right? His speech slowed down when he was speaking because he was introducing a new idea. So he has a greater understanding of something and he was transmitting it to us. So he's mitzamsim himself to be able to transmit it. Right? The big professor has to be able to give over the lesson in a way that the students can absorb it. Albert Einstein can't you know, teach it to a 5-year-old on Albert Einstein's level. He has to bring it down to his level. So Kiviyachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzev himself to allow the world to begin, to allow the world to exist. And the Rebbe has to mitzamtzev his understanding of something to give it over to the Talmud in a way that the Talmud can absorb it. U'kashah Talmud u'beseichel gadol. And as the student gains greater understanding, then the Rebbe, then the teacher, then the guide, the mentor, doesn't have to contract himself as much, right, to be able to communicate. Doesn't have to explain as much. Doesn't have to translate as much. So Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, of course, Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim. Yaakov was on a very lofty level in Eretz Yisrael. And he's right, how am I going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Golus? In Mitzrayim. So Hashem says, don't worry, I'll be with you. There's times when we're going to learn Mamish Sugya B'Ian, and there's times when we're going to learn something a little bit lighter, because that's what the time calls for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good at responding to the situation. Hashem always prepares the right lesson for the right situation. So Hashem says, in Eretz Yisrael, we were sitting, learning a kolel. In Mitzrayim, we're going to have a different type of kolel. Right? Have a different type of kolel. Yaakov Avinu, what was he learning in Shem Ve'Ever, Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever? 14 years on his way to Beis Lava. What was Yaakov learning? So Yaakov Kamenetsky says he was learning how to deal with a lava. So it was a different type of learning. Up to that point, he was learning, I don't know, about Metzia. Now he's going to Lavan's house. It's 14 years he needs to train. A different type of how do I stay from in Beis Lavan? It's a different shir for a different occasion. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yaakov Avinu. You're worried you're not going to be on the Madrega of Eretz Yisrael. Be on whatever Madrega you're supposed to be on. And Hashem says, I'll be with you every step of the way. V'zeu anochi eireid imchal mitzrayim. Kiviyachal Hashem yisbarach mitzamtzim es aso b'chutz l'aretz lo'ov demoso. I'll descend with you to Mitzrayim. It's interesting. Mitzrayim is also part of what he's hinting to. What does the word Mitzrayim mean? What's a Meitzar? Beina Mitzara. Right? Narrow straits. Mitzrayim means a place of Meitzar, a place of borders. Right? So I'll descend with you within the borders, Hashem says. If we're in a tight situation, Hashem says, well, kivyachol shrink myself for the occasion. V'anochi al-chal gamalo. But you should also know that I'm going to come up with you from Mitzrayim back to Eretz Yisrael. That the Jewish people are not meant to forever get stuck in that sense, in that state of katnus haseichel or katnus hamochin, small mindedness. But we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to get back to that elevated level. And Yaakov, when you rise up from Mitzrayim, the Shekhinah is going to be lifted up with you as well. Okay, and it's an important teaching to realize that different situations call for different things. The way I learn when I'm in yeshiva is different than the way I learn when I'm at my summer internship. It's different than the way that I learn in my house, the way that I learn in the Beis Medrash. Different environments call for different things. You don't have to beat yourself up over the fact that I'm not able to learn Be'ian right now. Okay, Hashem says now we're focusing on Bekiyas. Right? Now we're focusing on Ian. Seichel Gadol, Seichel Katan. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has plenty of Torah that's fit for all situations, what all situations call for. Okay, Chaver, just a couple final pieces. The next piece is extremely important. A Jew has to always be trying to grow. And a Jew has to never be satisfied with his level. In terms of his avodas Hashem, so perhaps what it means, Anochi Eirid Emcha Mitzrayim Anochi Alcha Gamalo, Uva Ofen Acher Yevuah. We can explain as follows: Ki Adam Aoved Hashem BeEmes Yale Tomid Amach Shavaso SheAdayin Eino Mesik Gedulas Habore Kivyachol. That a Jew, an honest, growing Jew, says to himself over and over, "I don't know the first thing about Hashem. The more I learn, the less I understand." Right. Until now, I didn't even know there was a sugya called this topic. Now I just found out that there's full svarim written about this topic. I never even heard of it until yesterday. Right. So the more you learn, the more you feel that there is to learn. And the more you understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the way He runs the world, the more you don't understand how Hashem runs the world. V'adayin eino maschil klal liyoda. And I haven't even begun to understand Him. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble Jew because he's the smartest Jew. He knows the most, which means he knows the least. He understands that there's so much more to know. V'zeu ha'emes, k'moshe kasev ha'ish, Moshe anav mod. Moshe is humbled by all that he knows. So says the Berditch, v'les l'pshat on the pasuk. Anochi a'alcha, Afilu kishatam adrega gadola. Even as I'm going up, gam alo, I'll continue to go up. Up leads to more up. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Right? I have to keep striving. I can't say, oh, I've gone up enough, so now I can rest. Tamid yala al nachshavasa gam alo. Person has to always be thinking, how do I go up and up and up? Shetzarach ata tamid lalos madregos gadola zel lebal mizeh. Ki avodas Hashem yisparachu ad einsof. Because there's no end to the malacha, right? To what a Jew can accomplish in this world. We have to just keep trying to do and to do and to do and to do. In the next little piece, he says, O Yavuar, Anochi Alcha Gabalo, when you go up, make sure others go up with you. He says, Remez Kesha Hashem Yisbarach Nosein Adam Alios, when Hashem lifts a person up, Azai Lo Yia Tanug L'Haliyah Shalom. It shouldn't be that it's a self-serving, self-gratifying pleasure of growth. Rak ikar kavanaso shiye gamalo. That when I go up, gam, also someone else goes up. Kedei lahoros la'am Hashem derech Hashem. To teach the people of Hashem the way of Hashem. Ulahalos nitzotos la'Hashem. V'zeo anochi al'cha, kishani nosin la'odam aliyos. Hashem says, when I give you an aliyah, ya ikar kavanaso gamalo. Make sure that you take someone else or something else up with you. Kedei lahalos am Hashem, la'avod Hashem. To make sure that you bring something along to serve Hashem along with you. Okay, two final pieces. This next one's a gem. Anochi eiredim cha mitzrayim ha'o, v'anochi alcha gam alo. Another pshat. Nira lefarish b'siyata tishmaya. Very excited about this piece. I have a Chanukah shiur that I don't think I gave to anyone here. About Anochi. About fighting for Anochi. You heard that one? I gave it in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago. About Hanukkah is about the word Anochi appears 127 times in the Torah. And Anochi is the first word we ever heard from Hashem. So you look through the Torah, there's always there's a constant story line throughout the Torah of fighting for Anochi. Of trying to maintain the Anochi Hashem Elokecha in the world. Right. So, for example, Rivka says, "Mizrotzu abanim bekirba im kein lamaze anochi." What's going to be with anochi? It's a lot of anochis. When Eliezer comes to Avram, when Eliezer Eved Avram comes to find the shidduch, yeah. So he introduces himself. He says, "Eved Avram, anochi." Right. So Tzadikim explain. The first thing he says is anochi. You have to know anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokechas. First thing a Jew needs to know. Yeah. So the Berditcher, in a similar vein, explains our pasuk. Anochi eiredim cha mitzrayima, va'anochi alcha gamalo. Nira lefarish b'siyata d'shmaya. Dinei k'siv sheish meos elef ragli ha'am asher anochi bekirbo. 600,000, this is in Parshas Baaloscha. When the Jews are complaining about meat, and Hashem says, I'm going to give them meat, and Hashem sends the slav, and Moshe first says, how is there going to be enough meat for all these people? It's not possible, there's 600,000 people, and I'm amongst them. Vinira Perusho, perhaps you could explain. The first two things that Hashem said at Har Sinai, we heard directly from Hashem. Anochi and Lo Yalacha, we heard directly from Hashem. Umizeh Nirsham Venechach Anochi Bekarev Kol Ishmi Yisrael. Shiutamid Dvukim Bishmal Gadol. What's the source of the Pintel Yid? How is it that every Jew deep down inside wants to do what's right? Because every Jew heard directly from Hashem, tattooed onto his neshama. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Tattooed onto his neshama. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Yeah, that's what he says here. Nirsham v'nechak. Anochi bekarav kol yish Yisrael. And that's what Moshe is saying. Sheish meos elef ragli. There are 600,000 people, ragli ha'amazah. Asher anochi bekirbo. 600,000 Jews with anochi bekirbo. With an anochi inside of themselves. That every Jew is stamped with a stamp of belief in God. And your claim you're going to be able to give meat to all of them. Ukaperish Rashi, right? Going back to the Pashup Shah of the Pasuk. Amar Rabbi Shimon, you're going to feed them meat to kill them, Hashem, to punish them because they're complaining so much. How can you destroy these Jews? They have the stamp of Anochi on them. So Moshe is negotiating on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So says the Berditcher in the next paragraph, V'zeo anochi eiredim cha mitzrayim. That's what it means. I'll go down. Anochi went down to Mitzrayim. Why did we go to Mitzrayim? Why do we have to suffer in that hell on earth? The answer is to be able to come out of Mitzrayim and to receive what? To receive the word of Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So Hashem says to Yaakov, don't worry. Anochi Eiret Amcha Mitzrayim, the Tachlis Shal Agalas Mitzrayim, who kidei? Shigaleinu Hashem Yisbarach Mitzrayim, V'yitin Lanu Asa Torah. We went to Mitzrayim to come out of Mitzrayim. As Moshe was told when he stood at the burning bush, V'zeh Lecha Haos, V'otziach Asa'am Mitzrayim, Tavdunas Elokim, Alahar Azeh. That you're going to come out of Mitzrayim, you're going to come to Kabbalah Satorah. V'zeh Anochi Eiret Amcha Mitzrayim, She read us Mitzrayim who letachlis she yitin lanu Hashem Yisbarach haTorah v'nishma mipi agvura anochi. We went to Mitzrayim to be able to come out and hear anochi. V'anochi aalcha gamalo sheftichu Hashem Yisbarach sheigal Mitzrayim v'yitin lanu Torah. We should know that Hashem came down for the purpose of anochi. And don't worry, there's a guarantee that anochi will emerge from Mitzrayim. Finally, the last piece for today. Thank you everyone for learning. Patiently, v'yasor Yosef merkavto. Yosef harnessed his chariot. Yosef went to pick up Yaakov himself. What does it mean that Yosef harnessed his chariot? Perish. She'aser haguf shu murka me'arba yesodos. V'yasor means to what? To restrain. Right? Matir asurin. To restrain. V'yasor Yosef merkavto. Yosef restrained his merkava. Right? What does murkav mean? Murkav means something which is made up of many components, many pieces. A person is murkav from the arba yesodos. Each one of us is made up of eish, ruach, afar, and mayim. And therefore, we're made up of many different desires, many different elements inside of us. Right? The negative of eish is gaiva and kas. The negative of mayim is taiva. The negative of ruach is speaking silly words and wasting time. Afar is laziness and sadness. We're made up of a lot of different emotions, a lot of different desires. But Yosef, Ya'asar Yosef Merkavto. Yosef restrained his Merkava, his right, that which he was Murkav from. She'asar haguf, shu Murkav me'arbi yesodos. Ve'ya'al likras Yisrael aviv. He gathered, Pashab Jad, he gathered his chariot and he went to greet Yaakov Avinu. But the Berditcher was explaining, he gathered his strength, he gathered his kochos, he used the different kochos aguf to go towards his father. Shehel lagufo l'Hashem Yisbarach shenikri Yisrael. That he went towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is sometimes called Yisrael. Hashem Yashar Kel. He went straight to God. And where was his father? Right, Goshna. Pasuk says Goshna. Lashon HaGosha, which means he went towards something. La'alos HaKol al'achtos HaBorei Baruch Hu. That he directed everything towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he says, Goshna is Goshen Hey. Hey stands for Hashem Echad. Uvonis Yachei Kol Dal Yesodos. Yosef said, I'm going to take my Eish, my Ruach, my Afar, my Mayim, all the different parts of my body. I'm going to take my arms, my legs, my eyes, my Brismila. I'm going to take every part of my body. I'm going to use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umi Malezos HaKol Al Achtos HaBorei Baruch Hu HaTzadik. And who's the one to do this? Ve'asar Yosef. HaTzadik is the one who takes all of his energies and he gathers in that strength and he directs it towards the Kodesh Baruch. So Chevre, we learned a lot of things today. Baruch Hashem. An hour of Kedushas Levi, you know, an hour a day keeps the doctor away. You learn Kedushas Levi, Mamash heals a person. We learned about Tzadik, Yimavata, L'Gzeira. Right, we learned the Pashup Shat of how Yehuda was able to approach Yosef and say, I want to speak to you in my own language. We spoke about how a Tzadik illuminates a person's eyes. We spoke about the connections between Yosef and Binyamin, Mordechai, Chanukah and Purim. We spoke about why Yaakov didn't tell the brothers Al Tirgazu B'Derech, but Yosef did tell them Al Tirgazu B'Derech. We spoke about how Agalos, the wagon wheels, the circle of life, how Yosef maintained his Kedusha in Mitzrayim, how Yaakov wanted to cling to Yitzchak as he's going out of Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim. Right, a person has to always be growing. How Yitzchak's Malam Yitzchus and Klal Yisrael. Amish Baruch Hashem. A lot of beautiful Torahs. Okay? Halavai, we should practice what we preach. Matal Kalkay, no, Madame Gogale, oh,